Hi, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Ayin Beis, still from Boca. The Gemara says in the bottom of Ayin Aleph and Beis quotes from yesterday's daf that Mi'il Shneimasar, that the meal was made of 12 different threads. And we know, and how do we know that the meal was made of 12 different threads? The Chassid, it says in the pasuk, V'asis es Mi'il ha'efod, you make the Mi'il ha'efod, Kalil Techelis, from Techelis. The word Kalil, important Rashi here, Rashi in the top of Ayin Beis says, Kalil is Ashen Gedil, Vein Gedil Pachas Mishnaim. It means something was wrapped around itself, or two things wrapped around each other. So that means two. So there is double threads of the Tcheles. And Yalav Tcheles, Tcheles Mi Parochas. We have a Gezer Shava. It says Tcheles by the Me'il. It says Tcheles by the Parochas. Mala Halon Shisha Afkan Shisha. Just like the Parochas. Each of the materials were of six threads. So two here as well. Each of the two deals were six. So 6 times 2 equals 12. That's how we know there were 12 threads used for the meal. Then the Gemara says, two lines down, asks, V'nelef mishulyav v'rimonav. Why are we learning a gzer shav of tcheles from the meal from the parochas? Maybe we should learn from the rimonim that were hanging from the bottom of the meal. And malahal and shmona afkan shmona, just like by the rimon, there were 8 threads for each of the materials used. So too by the meal, there should be 8 threads for each. 8 times 2, because the word gedil, kalil, should be 16, not 12. So Gemara answers, dunin kli mi kli. We learn kli from a kli. The parochas is a kli. The meal is a kli. It doesn't mean kli as normally you understand the word kli is a vessel. It's more of a beged. A beged could also be called a kli. So you learn a beged from a beged or a kli from a kli. Vein dunin kli mi tachshit. But the rimon is not a beged, it was simply a tachshit, it was some type of ornament on the kli, and therefore you don't learn the meal from the rimonim. So Gemara says, adirabba, dunin gufa mi gufa, maybe you should learn the meal from itself, because the rimon and the meal were part of the same beged, it was the same guf, the same article of clothing, vein dunin gufa mi alma, as opposed to learning from the meal from some other place, namely that of parochas. And so Gemara answers, Hainu de Amrino, that's what we said yesterday, when it said in the pasuk Shesh, 5 times, one of the words that Shesh was teaching us, Lishar Begadim Shlonemar Ben Shesh, is coming to teach us another article of clothing, whereby it doesn't say Shesh, namely the Me'il. The meal, we don't know how many threads use, so that Shesh applies to the Me'il, and since it's 6 times 2, because it says the word Kalil, by the Me'il, that gives us a total of 12 threads used for the meal. So now we move on to the parochas. The parochas was made of esim v'arba. 24 threads were used. Dalad d'sheisha sheisha. Each of the 4 different materials used for the parochas had 6. So 6 times 4 is 24. Lodina v'lodina. The Gemara says there's no judging, there's no investigation. It's ein bo safik. Says Rashi, ein safik v'irur b'davar. There's no question, there's no challenge, there's no doubt. It's certainly 24 as we just said. So nothing to talk about there. And then finally the Gemara says, Choshen ve'efod esim u'shmona. The Choshen ve'efod had 28 threads. So minalan, what's the source that it was 28 threads? So Gemara says, D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk v'asisa, Choshen mishpat, ma'ase choshev k'ma'ase ve'efod, tasenu, you make the ve'efod, the Choshen like the ve'efod, which is made, zahav, tcheles, argaman, talashani, v'shesh, mash, zar. There are 5 different materials mentioned here in making the Choshen ve'efod. For them, we have arba, for them is dishisha, for them consists of 6 threads each. That's 6 times 4 is 24 rather. Arba, dishisha, shisha, each of the 4 had 6 threads. And esim arba, that gives a total of 24. And zav, that 5th material used, was arba, was made of 4 threads only. So 24 plus 4, ha esim v'tam, that's how we get 28. So the obvious question is, why is Zahav made of 4 threads? Why don't we say Zahav is made of 6 threads like the other materials used? Ask Gemara, Ve'ema Zahav Nami Shisha. Shouldn't gold also be made of 6 threads, not 4 threads? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Kar, the Pasuk says, it quotes a Pasuk, it says, Ve'kitzetz Psilim, Psil, Psilim, Hare Kan Dalad. The word Psil implies 2, and Psilim implies double that, so that's 4. So since Zav is, we describe as psilim, that means, it says, positive Vayaku es pachei Zav, the kitates psilim, so Zav implies 4. That's how we know. Rav Ashi gives a different reason. Amar, Ravashi says, Amar Ka, the Pasuk says, Lasos Besocha Tcheles, U Besocha Argamon. The Pasuk goes on to say, when you take the threads of gold, you're supposed to wrap it in the Argamon. It says, I'll read the whole Pasuk. Vairaku es Pache Zav, you take the Zav, you keep this Psilim, you make them into threads, Lasos Besocha Tcheles, U Besocha Argamon, Besocha Tela Shrani, Besocha Hashesh, Masechoshev. You're supposed to intertwine the gold with each of the other four materials. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, how do you do this? If you're going to tell me Navid Arba, you make all four, tray, you have two threads of gold, each with the Tcheles and with the Argamon and so on, with each of the four, that means four times two, that's Havalutamna, that's eight. That'll give you a total of 32 threads in the overall Eifod and Choshet. So that's going to be too much. Navod Trey, tray, make two of them, use two threads of gold for two of the materials, and Trey, the other two materials, use Chad V'Chad, use only one thread, so maybe that's what you should do. So Gemara says, V'asisa, you should make them shukol asios shavos. All of them should be equal. So six is not really an option because six doesn't divide evenly in the four different threads. So it must be only four threads of gold are used. One thread with tcheles, one thread with argon, one with a telash shani, and one with the sheish. So therefore we have a total of 28 threads used for the choshen and the eifel. Gemara now says, now that we've been talking about the big day kuna, the Gemara points out that there are three isurim that applies to the various big day kuna and the kalim of the base of Mikdash. Only one of them actually applies to the big day kuna. What's that? Lav? So Amar Rachba says, Amar of Yehuda, HaMikare big day kuhuna, one who tears big day kuna, is loka, he gets malchus. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, lo yikareya, you should not tear. The entire pasuk reads, "Vaya pi rosho besocha safa yilafiv safiv masi oreg." There should be a little lip at the bottom of the meal. Kafi sachar yellow loy kareya. Don't tear it. And if you do tear it, once chay malchus. So asks Maskiv la Rav Acha bar Yaakov the Dilma Hachikamer. Maybe loy kareya is not coming to tell me that there's a lav. Maybe loy kareya is telling us why there is a safa. Why was there a lip on the bottom of the meal? Dilma Hachikamer. Maybe the pasuk should be interpreted. Rachmana Navid Lay Safa, you should make a Safa, a lip, Kiecha Delay Nikare, so shouldn't tear. Not to say that if one tears it, you get a lav, but the Safa's purpose is to prevent it from tearing. So Gemara says, Miksiv Shaloi Kare. Does the Pasuk say, you make a Safa in order that Shaloi Kare? The letter Shin isn't there. It's Loi Kare, as a Tzivoy. Don't tear it, so there's a lav. So the Rambam quotes this Halacha, that there's a lav, and he says, in Hilchas Klei Mikdash, he says, Akarea Pimil Loke. And not only by cutting, not only tearing the me'il, but he says, Huadin, l'chol big day kuna, all other big day kuna, if one tears on the Tzchai Malkos, Shakoran derech hashchas aloka, one who destroys in a destructive way, is Tzchai Malkos. So Mishnah says he thinks the requirement of hashchasa is only true by the Shar Begadim. If one tears it as a way of tikkun, somehow of fixing it, there'll be no Malkos. As opposed to the me'il itself, says the Mishnah, if one tears it, bein derech hashchasa, Bein Shalom Derech Hashchasa, one of the Chai Malkos for the meal. And that's Meduik in the way the Rambam says it. He says, HaKorea Pi Me'il, you get Malkos. And then afterwards, as an afterthought, for Huadin, the other ones, if it's done Derech Hashchasa. Derech Hashchasa seems to only be qualifying the Shar Begadim, as opposed to the meal, one violates the Lav, whether it's Bederech Hashchasa, or even if it's not Derech Hashchasa. The Rosh Hash asks a question. The Gemara in Sukkah teaches us that you take the leftover begadim, the michtasei bekoanim, the pants of the koanim, and they make them into wicks to use for the simchas beishreva. You tear them into little wicks. So how is that allowed? Isn't there an issa deraisa of loy kareya? So he says, once the big day kuna are no longer wearable, then one's allowed to tear. The issa of kareya is only true when they're wearable, but the moment they're no longer wearable, then one could do as they please. Not as they please, but they could do with it for another davar shet kedusha. So the Gemara now says further, we are the first white line down. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hameziach Choshen Me'al Ha'Eifod. One who removes the Choshen from the Eifod. He removes the Choshen from the apron. Hameser Ba the Aron. And also, one who takes the poles out of the Aron is Loka, gets Malkos, Shenemar, Lo Yizach, V'lo Yasiru. So these are the total of three Isurim that apply to the Big Day Kuna in the Kalim. Lo Yizach, don't remove the Eifod and the Choshen. Lo Yasiru, don't remove the poles from the Aron. So Maskela Rav Acha bar Yaakov asks the same question he asked above by the meal. The Dilma ki kama rachmana chadkinu v'abdinu shapir. Maybe what it means is one should put the poles in tightly. Shelo yaziach liyasura. You should put the choshen on tightly so it shouldn't be removed. And the poles so they shouldn't be removed. But not that there's a lav. It's explaining what you should do. You should make it tight. You should tie it tight. You should make the tabal tight. So Gemara says, Miksiv Shaloizach Vishloyasuru. Does it say that one should, that it's made the way so that no one should remove them? No, it says Loyazah Loizach. There's an Isser Deraisa, there's a Tzivoy, and that's the clear understanding. The Sefer Chinuch writes, the reason why there's an Isser to remove the Eifah from the Choshen, there's a teaching us a lesson that the person's whole Tachlis should be always Bishlemus. Just like the Choshen Eifah remain attached all the time, so too a person must be Tachlis Shlemus in everything he does, in the way he presents himself. That's the understanding of the Sefer Chinuch. Now, the Chinuch writes further, the idea of not removing the badim, the poles, from the Aron is because the Aron, we know, housed the Torah, and that was the whole essence of the Aron, was to show kavod to the Torah. And if they were told to remove the poles, and it came to move the Mishkan, they might hurry up to get the Aron, and chas v'shalom, it might fall, so they wanted it to always be prepared to remove. But the understanding in the Derech HaMusar is that the Torah is supposed to be accessible for everyone, as we're going to see further on Amud Beis, and the fact that the poles are there tells us that they're movable. Yes, it's in the Kodesh Kedoshim, but the point is it's accessible, it's movable to wherever a person is, whatever stage in life a person finds himself in, the Torah should always be accessible to an individual. The Gemara now says further, we are four wide lines down. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Rami Ksiv, it says, but Tabal Sa'arun Yuha Badim, Loya Surami Menu. There should be these little rings that the bottom, the poles go through. One should not remove the poles. You're supposed to place the poles in them. Doesn't that sound like that the poles are removable? Haketzad, how do we explain this? How do we reconcile the stirrup? So, Kei Haketzad, Misparkin Ve'Nishvatim. Yes, the poles were loose, but they were not able to be removed from the little rings. Rashi explains that in the center of the poles, they were narrow, so able to move them back and forth, but the ends of the poles were very thick, and they couldn't pass through the ring, so yes, they were movable back and forth, but they were not removable. The Gemara quotes a Brisa that says the same thing, that echoes this idea. Tanya, Nami Hachi, the Brisa says further, B'tabos ha'aron, the rings of the aron, you habadim, this should be the bottom, the poles should be inside the rings. One might think they should not be movable at all. You do bring the badam, you bring the poles inside the rings. Well, if they're movable, maybe they're even removable. That the badam, the poles, should remain always in the tabas. So are they movable? Are they removable? Okay, it's out of misparkin, ve'nishbatim. Like we said above, they are movable, but they're not removable. So Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, my dechzer was a pasuk where it describes the atzei shittim omdim, that the atzei shittim, the wood beams that were used in the Mishkan, they were standing, sheomdim derech gdilasan, that when they situated, when they built the aron, or the Mishkan rather, you should always have the direction in which the beams grew, that's how you should place them in the ground, from bottom to top, the way it grew the wood. Whereas it's davar acher, alternatively, what it means, omdim shemamidim es tzipuyim, that they'd actually take the gold that coated the wood, and Rashi explains, they would nail it in, so they would stay on the wood tightly. And davar acher, yet a third interpretation, omdim shematomar ovid svaran ubatel sichuyan. One might think that anything you put on the outside, or maybe the oil or the gold that was rubbed on the outside, maybe it might decay or fall off. Kamalomar omdim shomdim liolam ulalamim. That whatever coating they put on the outside of the wood beams remain there forever. That's what the pasuk is guaranteeing us. Gemara now says, last line of the Amadir, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Ma'idik, it was a pasuk mima, it says, as big day hasrad l'sharis b'kodesh. What does that mean? That the begadim were there to serve the kodesh. Says the Gemara on Tamim Beis now, ilmole big day kuna, had not been for the big day kuna, lo nishtayer misonem shel Yisrael sarid upalip. Had not been for the big day kuna, no one would be left, we'd be wiped out, had not been for the kapara. What kapara? Says Rashi, top of Ayin Beis Mabez. There is no Tosos on this page, so Rashi begins on the top right. Says Rashi, ilmole big day kuna, shayadein makriven hakarbanos hamechaprin al Yisrael. The Big Day Kuna are what allow the coin to work in the Beis HaMikdash, to bring the kapara, and ultimately protected many, many people who've done bad things, it brought them a full kapara. So while Rashi focuses on the karbanos, that the Big Day Kuna are simply a hechsher for the karbanos, Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, the Big Day Kuna themselves served as a kapara. That kapara that's achieved directly from the Big Day Kuna, not as a hechsher for karbanos, but the kapara itself achieved from the Big Day Kuna, that's what protected many people from not being wiped out from Klai Yisrael. Says the Gemara further now, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar debay Rabbi Shimon, Tana begadim shegordin osan kibriya son mikelayen umisardim hen klum. So what happened was that would describe the word Bigdei Srad means they would take, they wouldn't weave every part of the Begadim. They take some of the cloth as is in the raw sense, and they'd actually sew it on, kind of patch it on. It wasn't woven, but it was sewed on some way. Bigdei Srad, Srad means shirayim. Some of the leftover cloth, they kind of patched on. I don't know exactly how this worked. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shagordin, two lines down on the top of right, top right on a base here, Shagordin osan kibriyasin mekileyam, kishut chotchen osan bigradim shalhem, bitol kliya rigasim. When you'd weave the different threads together, there'd be some extra on the outside, you cut it off. Hayosan kibriyasin chalulin kiderach levishasin. You kind of wrap what you wove together into a hole, and you know, like the arm or the shirt of the coin, shape it in a circle. Others you'd have to kind of sew it together. So I'm not exactly sure the description here, but somehow Rashi says, you left over some of the threads that were not woven, kind of hanging on the outside, and that's what Bigdei Srad was. So then the Gemara says, Reish Lakish Amar, Elu Maisa Machet. Referring to Zamahi, you wouldn't weave it, rather you'd sew it. They're sewing and there's weaving, so you'd sew it together. So that which was not woven with the rest of the begadim was sewn on to the rest of the begadim. So Gemara says, Meisiv Bigdei Kuna Ein Osin Osin Meisa Machad El Meisa Oreg. So the Braisa clearly says we don't use any sewing in the Bigdei Kuna. It's only woven. So how could Reish Lakish suggest something was sewn? Shenemar Meisa Oreg. Only Meisa Oreg was used for Bigdei Kuna. So Amar Abai says Lo Nitzcha El Beis Yad Shelhem, referring to the sleeves. The sleeve was sewn in. They take the sleeve, they wove a sleeve, or rather they weave a sleeve separately, and then they sew it on. The way it works regularly, if you take a look at your suit or your shirt or anything, you see that there are lines going across it. Those are where it's sewed together. So you know, by the shoulder, for example, the whole sleeve is separately woven from the base of the suit. They sew it together. That's what Reish Lakish is referring to when you sew the different pieces together. So then the Gemara quotes another statement from the name of Rachba. Amar Rachba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shalosh Aronos also Betzalo. Betzalo made three different Aronos, three different boxes for the Aron. And sorry, the center one, not the most inner one, but the center in between the two gold boxes was made Shal Eitz, was made of wood, was Tisha, was nine Tvachim high. Panimi, the most inner one, the box, Shazav was Shmona, was gold. It was only eight Tvachim high because it was lying on top of the wooden one and the most outer gold one. And the chitzon, the outer one, was made of gold. Was Asara Masha was 10 and a little bit more. So there's 10, 9, 8. Everything fit inside each other. Tanya, but doesn't the Braisa say, Echad Asar Masha, wasn't the outer one 11 and a little bit? Not 10 Tvachim and 11 Tvachim? So Gemara says, look, Kasha, there is no contradiction. Hokman Damar Yesh Ba'avyo Tefach. Hokman Damar Ein Ba'avyo Tefach. There's a machlokas how wide the bottom of the boxes were. So some hold that the inner golden box and the wooden box total a tefach. So then you had to have the thickness was also a tefach. So therefore, the outer one had to be a tefach wide as well, in addition to being 10 tefachim high to cover the height of the other two boxes. One felt no, there was no thickness. The thickness of the outer box was not a tefach deep. It was only a little bit deep, and therefore only 10 tefachim was needed to be just as tall as the 8 and 9 box, which were inside the 10 tefach box one. And the Gemara then says, "Umay mashu, what's a little mashu?" We said 10 and a little bit, and 11 a little bit. What's a mashu? It's the zer. The zer is a little crown that went on top of the aron. That was the little mashu. So Gemara then says further, now we're talking about zer, these little crowns, the keser. So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan shlosha zerinhein," the three different crowns we find on the various kelim in the Mishkan. Shel mizbeach, v'shel aron, v'shel shulchan. Each of these three kelim had a zer. Shel mizbeach, zacha aron v'nala. The crown of the mizbeach was taken by aron in Sheva Kuna. Shel Shulchan, the Shulchan, Zacha David Menalo, it was a Malchus, the Keser Malchus was taken by David Amelch. And Shel Aron, Adayin Munach, who is still available for anyone who wants, and Karotze Likach, Yavo Vikach, whoever wants to take it, could go ahead and take it. Shema Tomer Pachlasu, maybe you're going to tell me that the Keser Torah, since it's available for everyone, Hamun Am, there's no Yichas, it must be lesser value. Tamlomer, Bim Lachim Yimluchu, says that David Amelch himself, that through Torah is what brought him to really the greatest Malchus. Not the Malchus, but the Malchus of Torah is the highest level. And comes along with Yochanan, Rami Ksiv, it says, Zar, the Krinan Zer. It's written as Zar, but it's pronounced as Zer. So Zocha, one Zocha in Limud HaTorah, Nas Lazer, becomes a crown for him. He gets elevated to a Chashuv position. But if you see, but Lo Zocha, a person's not Zocha, it could be Zar Himanu. It could be something that's very, very distant from him. So a few interesting things that come out of this. The one is the previous statement we said that the three boxes of the Aron, gold, wood, and gold. So it's a very interesting idea brought down by the Ein Yaakov. He says, this manifests, this really represents a person, a human being. The outer box of person, if you will, is Tzel Melkim. The inner box is in the Neshama, so those are both gold. And the flesh, everything in between, that's the wood, that's the Gashmias. But we also built like an Aron, gold, wood, and gold with the different components. This next piece we just said about the Keser of Torah is available for everyone. It's brought down in the Halacha, is there a concept of Yichlus passing on Rabbanus? Could there be Yerusha by Rabbanus? A person's a Rav, do we say that when he passes away, he's Morish to his child or not? So there's a big, big discussion in the various Rishonim and the various Poskim. But one of the rais are that's not Yerusha is from this Gemara here. That's not for the particular Yichas. Malchus Beis David, they get Malchus, and Sheva Kuna gets Kuna. But the Torah is not limited to any particular family. Everyone's able to get it. So the next Rav after the Rav dies is the one who's most qualified, not the eight child. So Gemara says further now, halfway down the Amud, Rabbi Yochanan and Rami, he points out a stirim sukkim, ksiv vasis lecha aron eitz. That person should make, you should make for yourself Moshe, you should make yourself the aron from eitz. Uksiv then says, v'asu aron atzei shitim, and they made it. So what does that mean? Wasn't Moshe told to build it? How come they made it for Moshe? So mikan letamun chacham shibnei iro mitzuvin lasos lo melachto. From here we see that a tamun chacham, like Moshe Benu, it's an understatement, but Moshe Benu and any other tamun chacham who has a certain responsibilities, it's the incumbent upon the tzibur and the bnei iro to carry out that he does it, they do it for him, and he doesn't have to actually carry out the melach and the tirt in doing so. Gemara says further, Bibayis Michutz Titzvenu, you should cover it on the outside and the inside with gold. So Amar Rava, Rava says a well-known statement called Tamil Chacham Shein Tocho Kibara. That his inside is not like the outside. That he gives the impression like the Tamil Chacham, he acts like a Tamil Chacham on the outside, but the inside, his Machshav and his Lev is not the same way. Eino Tamil Chacham, that's not what we call the Tamil Chacham. A Tamil Chacham is when he's Kadosh through and through from the inside and from the outside. Gemara says further now, Amar Bai Visema Rabba Bar Ula, Nikra Nisav, a person's called the Nisav, Lashon To'eva. It's abominable, it's disgusting for a person to not be consistent from the outside and the inside. It quotes a pasuk, Shenemar, Af ki Nisav v'nelach ish shose kimayim avla. Those who drink the water of Torah, but are inconsistent, they have a despicable behavior, so that's very much frowned upon. That's called the To'eva, Nisav. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Ma'idich said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Lama ze mechir b'yad ksil, liknas chacham, v'lev ayin, a person who buys, chachma, but he has no heart, oy lahem l'sonem shaltamini chachamim, she'oskim b'torah, woe to those people who learn, v'ein ben yershamayim, but they lack yershamayim. So Machos of Yani, Yani said, chaval adilesle darta, v'tira l'darsa avid. Woe to the person who doesn't have a dark, that doesn't have a chatzir. He makes a gate to the chatzir. Rashi explains, the chatzir, the goal is Yerushalayim. The Torah is the gate to get to Yerushalayim. So the person, he doesn't have a chatzir. He makes a gate, but it's a gate to nowhere. He has Torah, but if the gate doesn't lead to Yerushalayim, then it's worthless. So Amar Lahu Ravar L'Rabbanan, B'metusa Minayichu, if you could excuse me please, the Tirson Tarte Gehenim. He asks him, please don't inherit two Gehenims. What does two Gehenims mean? So Rashi says, at the top left in Rashi, first narrow line down, Rashi says, Tarte Gehenim, V'yos Yigim V'amelim Torah Ba'om Hazah. You're going to be osik in this world of Limud HaTorah. You're going to sweat over it. Below, tikaimu v'tirshu gehenim b'moschem. But I don't want you to inherit gehenim. If you don't have your shemaim, in essence, you're going to get gehenim in the end of the day. And b'chayecham lo nisim b'olamechem. So now, you didn't have olam hazeh because you're busy learning. You weren't enjoying the world. And you're not going to have olam haba either because you had the wrong intention. You did not have your shemaim. So, of course, he was encouraging them to learn to have olam haba. But if not, then I guess he was saying, if you're not going to learn l'shem shemaim, at least enjoy this world in the proper framework of halacha. So Gemara then says, last three narrow lines of the page here, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ma'ir d'chsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, V'zos ha-Torah she sum Moshe. The word sum is a lashon sam, a medicine. So zocha, if one zocha, nasis lo sam chaim, the Torah becomes a medicine, it heals a person. Lo zocha, if one is not zocha, if he doesn't merit, nasis lo sam misa, it's a poison for him. Rabbi says, "Uman lo sama dechaya." If a person's uman, if he's omel, if he learns l'shem shemaim, it's going to be a sama dechaya. It's going to be a medication, a medicine for him. To lo uman lo, if he does not have the proper melis, he does not become an expert. He does not learn the proper kavana. Then sama b'musa, it's going to be a poison for him. So the different Rishonim asked the question. So just because he doesn't learn l'shem shemaim, why is that going to be sam hamavas? Doesn't Gemara tell us in a few places that even though a person alpha pi shalol lishma, shimitoch shalol lishma, bal lishma, so at least let it be lishma. So Tos Rush answers, he says no. The person learns stam shalol lishma, okay, so that's some schar, eventually will lead to lishma. But here the Gemara is talking about a person learned in order to liskadil, to become greater in the eyes of people, for kavod, and for honor, and to attack people, and to be all of the different and bad reasons, not stam, not the power reasons, but for bad reasons, that's when the Torah serves as sam hamavas, as a poison. Gemara then says, we are two wide lines down on Amud Beis here, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonasan, Rami Ksiv, he pointed out a Yisterim Psukim, it says in one pasuk, Pikud Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chilev, that the Pikudim of Hashem, the mitzvahs of Hashem, make one happy, Uksiv Amarta Hashem Tzufa, that Hashem is going to be a Tzufa. What's the lashon of Tzufa? Rashi said, Tzarafso B'Yisurin V'Gehenim, person will be like tzarif, means that when you take metal or gold and you boil it, you burn it, you shape it, that's points out to a certain level of Gehenim. So is a mitzvah is a simcha or it's a serious thing? It's a din lishan din and gvura. So zocha v'sam chaso, if one zocha, he learns l'shem shemaim, is going to bring him to a life of simcha. Lo zachu tzarfaso, if not, it's going to lead to a life of yisurin and Gehenim. In the very pasuk you have this, you don't have to raise a contradiction of Pikute Hashem Yisar Misam Chilev. Even the pasuk Hashem Tzrufa indicates this. Tzrufso l'chaim, zacha tzrufso l'chaim, lo zacha tzrufso l'mitzah. Even Yisurim can lead a person to good. Sometimes Yisurim can lead a person to devastation, and sometimes it can lead a person to inspiration to become better. So depending if the person zocha, Yisurim could elevate him. If he's not zocha, it could destroy a person. So Gemara then says, again, Zacha, Tiraftu l'chaim, lo Zacha, Tiraftu l'misa. And then it says, Yirash Hashem Torah, Omedes Lad, that the Yishmaim, which is pure, will last forever. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Zehalome Torah Betara, that's a person who learns with great purity. Mayhi, what does it mean to learn Betara? No Se'isha V'acharkach Lome Torah. First, a person should get married, and then he should go learn. That's what it means to learn Betara. He has a wife. He's settled. He doesn't have rashes. He's nitzal mihihur avera. Won't have any bad thoughts. And this way he'll learn with great purity. Eidus Hashem ne'emana, that the testimony of Hashem is trustworthy. Amr b'chir ba'aba am ne'emana hilahoyed b'lomdeh, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to testify by those who learn his Torah. So then the Gemara says, we'll finish with this to the two dots. Maisa roke, maisa choshev. Going back atop, we mentioned these psukim about the way things were woven. It was me maisa rokem, maisa choshev. These two different ways of how the begadim were made. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, shirokmim b'makom shechoshem. So it's referring to the parochas here. So first Rashi says, they'd first color, they'd line out the shape they want to make, and then afterwards they'd weave it in that shape. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, top left, he says, choshev, maisa, shirokmim b'makom shechoshem. Betchila misakin etzura al beged ayde teva. First, on the cloth, they color, they just trace using a pen or mark, or whatever it was. Acharkach rokme b'macha. Then they just sew and thread together that shape they just drew. So then the Gemara says another suggestion. Gemara says Tana mishmei de Rabbi Nechemia rokem ma'isachata machat. Rokem is ma'isa machat and lefikach pritz of echad. When you sew something, it's the same exact shape on both sides. You can't have two different shapes and different sides. That's sewn. That's ma'isa machat. That's ma'isa rokim. But choshev is ma'isa org. It's weaving. It's possible. Lefikach shnei partuvos. Weaving, you can actually create two different images on two different sides. So one's referring to sewing. One is referring to weaving. Let's quickly recap. We start by talking about the source of how we know the me'il was made of 12 threads. We then brought a source, how you know parochas is 24. And how you know choshev ve'ifod is made of 28 different threads. We then brought the three different yisurim, that the only three yisurim exist by Bigdei Kuna and the Kalim of the Mishkan, lo yikareya, don't tear the begadim, lo yizach, don't remove the choshen from the ephod, and lo yasuru, don't remove the poles from the aron. Then we described how the aron had the poles that were movable, but not removable. We brought a few different interpretations, what it means, etim, shitim, omdim, either means you put them standing up the way they grew, that's how they built them in the Mishkan, or meant that they had nailed together the gold the gold covering, or it meant whatever was put on the outside of the wood, the gold or whatnot, that remained forever. We discussed the Bigdei Srad was somehow the leftover cloth they sewed together. And then we discussed how they would take this sleeve, weave it separately, and sew it directly onto the base of the Beged. We described the three different boxes of the Aron, the gold, the wood, and the gold. And then the three different Zerim, the three different crowns of the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, and the Aron. The Zer of the Mizbeach was for Aron and Kohen, of the Shulchan was for Malchus Beis David, and of the Aron of his Torah was available for everyone. We described as well how, although it says Asisa Lecha Aron, but it says V'asul Aron, that means the Talmud Chacham must, the Bnei Ir, must fulfill the requirements, the Melacha of a Talmud Chacham. We discussed that a Talmud Chacham has to have Tocho Kit Baro. And then we mentioned as well that a person must have Yir Shemaim as well. It's not about Limud Torah only, but Limud Torah is a Pesach, a gateway to get to the main area, the Chatzer, which is Yir Shemaim. And then a person is Zocha, Torah is Sam HaChaim. If one's not Zocha, it's Sam HaMaves. And then we discuss at the end the difference between Maisa Choshev and Maisa Rokem. Either means they first sketch the design and then they wove into it, or Maisa Choshev means the Lashon of Maisa Orig, and Maisa Rokem refers to Maisa Machak.